You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Monday, April 23rd, and this is Locked On MLB, your daily podcast covering Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Tommy Stokey, and today it is Monday, meaning we have our power rankings looking at who had the best week in baseball last week. Before we get to that in segment two, I want to go over the weekend's biggest stories, whether it was the no-hitter in Oakland for Sean Manaea or top prospects getting called up, and just some of the other bigger stories that happened over the weekend that we can kind of project forward and see what they might mean. And then, as always on Monday, we will take a look in segment three at which team has the most important week ahead of them. Last week, the Phillies were on top of the power rankings, followed by the Angels. The Angels didn't have a great week. The Angels don't make the cut this week. The Phillies do, but we'll get to those top 10 in segment two. But first, I want to get to the top stories of the weekend. So let's start with Sean Manaea, no-hitter in Oakland against the Boston Red Sox. What was most impressive about that is that the Red Sox are like 17-4, 17-3 after that game. Their offense has been, you know, on fire, scoring runs. They have a deep lineup, and so that was about as impressive as it gets in terms of a no hitter. And I think it kind of surprises some maybe casual fans because Sean Manaea might not be that household name yet, and maybe some fantasy owners who aren't fully aware of him and his track record and his ability might try to sell high, and maybe they look at it as somewhat of a fluke. I don't think so. I think he's legit. And so the first no-hitter of the year went to Sean Manaea. Capping off a good weekend for Oakland, which, by the way, we will get to later. Gleyber Torres called up by the New York Yankees. They're one of their top prospects. I don't know where they have him exactly. Depends where you look, but I'm sure a lot of people have him at number one. Seems to be a consensus top 10 guy in baseball. He's going to play second base every day, it appears, or most every day. He replaced Tyler Wade, who was sent down to the minors, and everybody came out and said they still believe in Tyler Wade, but he needs to play every day and get his offense back on track. Torres probably would have been up last year if it wasn't for needing Tommy John surgery on his non-throwing elbow, which cut his short season last year. And then I think he had a slow spring, but in these couple weeks here, really tore it up. And I don't know if this was exactly a service time play. I think if the Yankees weren't quite struggling as bad as they were, maybe they wouldn't have done this now. But no real answer at second base, and with Torres hitting, after that service time date passes, why wait? In San Francisco, Johnny Cueto's ERA is 0.35 and is serving as a reminder that, hey, Johnny Cueto is really good when healthy. And so he's going to be a big boost to that rotation that still doesn't have Madison Bumgarner back. They did get Jeff Samardzija back. So Cueto, through four starts, 0.35 ERA, very good. Again, I think maybe reminding people, like, hey, I'm healthy now, so here I am. And the other story coming out of San Francisco this weekend, well, a couple of them, actually. Hunter Pence is headed to the DL, and it's kind of a benching of sorts. He suffered the injury like 3 weeks ago, and now they're putting him on the DL for it and called up Mack Williamson, who was tearing up the PCL. So this is probably the end of Hunter Pence, everyday player in San Francisco, depending on, you know, how he recovers, depending on what Williamson does. Austin Slater, another option there as well. And then the other story that took place in San Francisco this weekend was Brandon Belt setting the record with a 21-pitch at-bat. And my favorite part about that is the inning took like 40 minutes, and the Giants didn't score. Jose Bautista is back with the Braves. He is playing third base, and he might actually be up soon. And a lot of people were kind of confused by, like, oh, why are they signing Jose Bautista? Why is he trying to play third base? And my response is, who cares? It's a minor league deal. There's no risk. I think it was a lot of people knew that the Braves were probably one of the most likely landing spots for Batista because of that connection with Alex Anthopoulos. So I wasn't surprised to see it happen. I don't think it's a big deal. If it doesn't work out, it costs them very little. If it does, you bought low on a guy that can hit 20-25 home runs and provide a boost at an uncertain position of third base. I know Ryan Flaherty is there right now. Johan Camargo is an option, maybe Rio Ruiz. But for 1 year, for a couple months, even if you only get one good month out of them, you can cut them loose, and there's nothing lost there. Chris Bryant seemingly avoided a serious injury this weekend. He was hit in the head by a pitch against the Rockies. And the only, I think he passed all his protocol for concussion, and the only thing he had was a laceration due to his sunglasses. So good news for the Cubs that Bryant so far avoids serious injury. Some head injuries kind of linger or, you know, maybe don't appear right away. So we'll see how that goes. Obviously, head injuries, concussions, stuff like that is nothing to play around with. So if they avoided serious injury there, very good for the Cubs. The other story coming out of Colorado in the Cubs series this weekend was Javier Baez and DJ LeMahieu getting into a disagreement because Baez was standing in front of LeMahieu as LeMahieu was relaying signs. LeMahieu supposedly told Baez that, hey, I'm just, what are you doing? I'm just giving signs or whatever as part of the game, and that didn't sit well with Baez. The broadcast of it from the Rocky side was terrible. The way that they explained it was stealing signs is part of the game, and so why would anybody prevent that? Why would Javier Baez try to prevent that from happening? Why don't they just change their signs? Okay, well, if it's part of the game, then trying to get your opponent to not relay the signs is also part of the game. So I don't know what that was all about on the Colorado side. I'm team Baez in this situation. If they're going to steal signs, then do what you can to prevent that from happening. And then the last big story of the day is a sad one of the weekend. White Sox reliever Danny Farquhar, I'm sure you've heard by now, suffered a brain aneurysm in the dugout after pitching an inning this weekend. Really good job by the White Sox medical staff to take care of that as quick as possible and get him where he needed to be as quick as possible. I think there's a lot of worry what would have happened if he wasn't there, if they were on an airplane, he was in a hotel, he was not in the situation that he was in. So the White Sox released a statement today saying that he was getting better but still critical. Hold on, I want to make sure I get this right. They've set up, he's going to be in the hospital for a couple weeks and closely monitored. His family is there. He did have surgery to reduce some of the swelling. But let's see what the exact update. Reported that he's progressing well following successful surgery Saturday to address the aneurysm. Farquhar has use of his extremities, is responding appropriately to questions and commands, and is speaking to doctors and his family. He remains in critical but stable condition in the ICU at Rush Hospital. His family is there. He's expected to remain there for the next few weeks. So our thoughts are with Danny Farquhar, his family, and the White Sox family. All right, let's run through this week's power rankings. Last week, the Phillies were on top. They are not on top this week, but let's start at number 10 with the Arizona Diamondbacks. They went 4-2 on the week, winning two series. They've won every series they've played this year, and I think the good news for them is the outing that they got from Matt Cook, who stepped into the rotation in place of Taijuan Walker, who had to undergo Tommy John surgery. So the Diamondbacks still banged up without Walker, without Shelby Miller, no Jake Lamb, Steven Souza. I mean, the list goes on of guys, and that doesn't include the guys that are underperforming. So for them to win every series with some of the injuries they've had and with some of the underperformance they've had, really impressive stuff by Arizona. Number 9, the Boston Red Sox, a good start to the week. They swept the Angels. They won the big showdown with Shohei Ohtani, who left with a blister, but also probably left because he was getting rocked. But then they lose 2 out of 3 to Oakland. So 4-2 on the week. Overall, good stuff from the Red Sox as they keep it going there. Number 8, the Milwaukee Brewers went 6-1. they'd be higher on a 6-1 record, but the only their wins were the Marlins and the Reds. That is important because you have to beat the teams like you have to beat the Marlins and Reds and build wins against those teams that you're supposed to beat, especially in a race in the NL Central that looks like it should be tight again. So Brewers get the job done, 6-1 on the week. The Houston Astros, number 7, also 6-1 on the week. They won a series against the Mariners, and then they swept the White Sox. So again, a situation where they beat who they were supposed to. There are closer questions, and what's going to happen in the ninth as Davinsky picked up a save and Ken Giles pitched in the eighth, and so fantasy owners will certainly want to monitor that. The other good news for the Astros, 2 quality starts from Lance McCullers after there was maybe some worry that he wasn't getting through the sixth inning, but he had 2 good outings, 2 quality starts this week. Number 6, the Tampa Bay Rays, 5-1 on the week. They swept the Minnesota Twins, and they got the big walk-off home run from Carlos Gonzalez. So good to see the Rays show some life after their brutal start. They winning 5 out of their last 6 in a good week. They come in at number 6. Phillies, they were number 1 last week. They are number 5 this week. They dropped a series to the Braves early in the week, and then they came back and swept the Pirates in 4 games. The impressive part, and there's a good story on The Athletic about this, on how the Phillies are supposed to be winning with their offense, and they've been winning with their pitching, and their offense hasn't quite clicked yet. So for a young team that maybe some didn't expect to compete, maybe a year away, whatever, for them to be winning without all facets working together, that is a good sign for them. Number 4, the New York Yankees. Went 4-2 on the week. They won a series against the Blue Jays, taking 3 out of 4 there. That was a big series. They did get crushed by the Marlins 1 game, and that kind of ended the season for 24 hours, but they came back. Big series win over Toronto. And the big news, of course, Gleyber Torres. They call up their top prospect, add even more talent to that lineup. Should improve the team defensively with what he's capable of there. So a good week for the Yankees at number 4. The Atlanta Braves, number 3. They were 4-2 on the week. They beat the Mets and the Phillies, and it's just important for them to win these series against the inside the division and to keep playing well now. And I'm going to get more into the Braves in our third segment because they're my team that has the most important week ahead of them. Number 2, the Los Angeles Dodgers, 5-1. Got a winning streak going. Kenley Jansen picked up a save. He blew a save early in the week, but looks good against the Nationals. They have the Marlins coming in town next, so to go 5-1 and kind of get this thing moving, get some good starting pitching performances, and now they have Walker Buehler coming up, their top prospect. We'll see what he has to offer as he fills in for Rich Hill. But the Dodgers come in at number 2. And number 1, Oakland. Oakland 5-1 on the week. Big series win over the Red Sox, and of course they had the no-hitter. So they were a team that I was relatively high on coming into the year. I would have taken their projected over-under total, even with the injuries to A.J. Puck and Jarrell Cotton. Their offense is really good, and now Sean Manaea, as he continues his development into a top-of-the-rotation type guy, that no-hitter is certainly to be a highlight for Oakland, and winning a series against the Red Sox is a big first step. Let's end the show today with a look at the Atlanta Braves, who I believe have the most important week in baseball. They are 12-8, and they head on the road for 7 days this week, 4 in Cincinnati, 3 in Philadelphia. Currently behind the Mets and the Phillies, but ahead of the Nationals in the NL East, and I think it's important for them because, as we said earlier, when we were talking about the Brewers and how they beat the Marlins and the Reds, and you look at the Cardinals are padding their record with wins against the Reds. When you're the Braves especially, and you're a team like the Braves where you don't have as much room for error and you don't have, you know, the expectations, whatever, you know, you're not the Cubs or Nationals, or maybe you are, you never know. But they have the games against Cincinnati are even more important to the Braves, because that will give them room for error against the better teams, like the Mets, the Nationals, the Cubs when you play them, Diamondbacks, Dodgers, whatever. You can afford to maybe lose some of those games as long as you take care of business against the teams like Cincinnati. So going on the road to Cincinnati for four games there, you have to come away. If you're the Braves, I think you have to come away with three wins. You know, 2-2 is not the worst, but I think 3 out of 4 there is not only very possible, but necessary. I think that's what they should be looking for, and that's what they're capable of. And then from there, you go 3 games in Philadelphia. You just took 2 out of 3 at home against Philadelphia. This gives you another chance against a divisional opponent to either make up ground against them, to not lose ground against them. And the Phillies are a team like the Braves where many feel like they are, this isn't supposed to be their year. And so if one of those two teams, or both, I mean, whichever of those two teams is going to overachieve the most, then they have to beat the other. So if the Phillies are going to be the team that overachieves in the NL East, they have to beat up on the Braves. And if the Braves are going to be the ones that are overachievers, then they have to win games against the Phillies. So it'll be a good test for the Braves. A couple other things to look at. The arrival of Ronald Acuna, because Preston Tucker is not hitting anymore. He was 4-for-21 last week. You know, he's obviously not the defender that Acuna is in left. He's not the player that Acuna is supposed to be. And so if you waited for Acuna to get hot, which I don't necessarily disagree with, especially when Preston Tucker was playing the way that he was, I don't disagree with not calling up Acuna up yet. That being said, you have to ride out Preston Tucker as long as you can, and it might be, okay, we got 2-3 good weeks out of him. Great. That was a perfect bridge to Acuna. Now let's give him the job. And, you know, Preston Tucker could still be a valuable bench bat if needed. You know, Nick Markakis didn't hit well last week. So, you know, you never know. There could still be at-bats for Tucker available. I'd have to look closer at the roster crunch and how that would all work out. But you have Acuna coming up. You have Jose Bautista, maybe. I mean, I look at that the same as, you know, with Ryan Flaherty. Ryan Flaherty is like leading the league in hitting right now. But as soon as he starts to slow down, given the track record, you have to be proactive in saying, look, we got as much out of Ryan Flaherty that we think that we can get. Now let's go see if we can get as much out of Jose Bautista as we can get, or whoever you want to put there. But it's a big week for the Braves. It's a big week for Tucker because I think he's playing for his job at this point. And it might not matter what he does. They might call up Acuna no matter what. So you look at not only the Reds and then the Phillies, but then the week after, they're going to go back on the road to the Mets, or stay on the road against the Mets, come back home for a quick series against the Giants, and then you're back on the road again at Tampa, at Miami, and then one game at Chicago before coming back. So that's how they're going to start May out. You have winnable games there against the Rays, against the Marlins, winnable at home against the Giants, and what will be a tough series on the road against the Mets. But for the Braves to keep this up as long as they can, they have to dominate teams like the Reds. They have to try to get 2 out of 3 against the Phillies, especially on the road. But if they can go 5-2 on this road trip, if they can go, well, let's see, if they go, you know, if you go 5-2 and 2 out of your 3 losses to the Phillies, that's okay. You know, I think 4-3 might be a little disappointing. I mean, not the worst case scenario. Obviously, if you lose this, if you are 3-4 on this road trip, I think that's a big disappointment if you are the Braves. So they have to come out, take advantage against the Reds, play well against the Phillies, and Acuna will probably be up, if it's not this week, maybe shortly after, to replace Preston Tucker, and then you have to keep watching those other guys and make sure that you are getting the max value out of them and then kind of, you know, cashing out when it starts to get bad. You know, stay on the table for the heater, but once the heater's over, make sure you don't sit too long. So that's why I think the Braves had the most important week. They had a good week last week, as we looked at my power rankings, number 3, Oakland on top. But we'll see how the Braves do this week, and talk about that later this week. So that'll be it for today for Monday's episode. Follow me on Twitter, Stokey Tommy. You can find us at LockedOnMLB.com. We're on iTunes. We are on Spotify. We are on Google Play.